Hey guys, welcome to a new quick podcast. This is a series of podcasts that I want to be quick and informative. We're going to go into detail on some smaller topics which deserve their time in the sun. Hopefully I'm going to give you a different perspective to the one you've read before. And just a disclaimer, this is for intermediates to dig their teeth into, so keep that in mind as you're listening through. Some quick upsells before we begin. You can go to my website, thomascrownpua.com, where you'll find my books, my first year of day game memoir, my texting guide, my intermediate textbook, and a book of my best blog posts. There's also my Patreon, which you can sign up for infields and exclusive Q&As and analysis of the infields. You can contact me for coaching, that's by call or infield. Again, that's all on thomascrownpua.com. Lastly, you can follow me on X at Crown Day Game. And if you think that you have a good question or a good topic that would be good for this series, then either send me a DM on X or send me a message via my website. Okay, let's get stuck in. Today we are talking about how to spot red flags in guys. So actually, when I said the disclaimer about this being for intermediates, this is, to be honest, this is for everyone, because if anything, you're more likely to meet these guys when you're a beginner and you're just coming into the community. So it's an unfortunate fact that this community game attracts the weirdest guys. I only know about the day game community. I don't know whether it is more prolific or less in the night game community, but day game, it certainly attracts the weirdest guys I've ever met. It's also attracted some of the coolest guys I've ever met, so keep that in mind. For some comparison, I used to be part of a sort of nerdy community, but by and large, they're all just well-meaning and nice people. There was a lot of regular beta guys in there. There were a few Amigas. Of course, there were a few Gammas, which we'll get onto. But they were well-known and kind of avoided in that community. No one really was their friends. But game, it tends to attract a lot more of these Gamma guys. So I'm going to leave some links in the description so you can familiarize yourself with these Gamma guys. But they are basically like the dodgy guys, the annoying ones, the frame-controlling ones, the ones that give you an off feeling in your gut. And a lot of that is because Gamma guys, they often work in programming, or they work with computers, or they just have this kind of desire for a secret system to do things in their life. Like, they think they should be higher up the totem pole than they actually are. And so they look for a secret system which allows them to get more than they deserve. And that's the thing. Game is marketed as a secret system to get girls. I mean, even going back to Tom Torero's advertising, he did an amazing work in getting guys into the community by talking about the London day game model as this simple thing that will help you to get girls. But he did often talk about it like it was some sort of cure-all, which it isn't. It's just training wheels. Anyway, so a lot of these Gamma guys get into game, and the thing is that it's nothing. If you're let's say you're low social sexual market value, that's not an issue at all. You know, if you're the sort of beta guy or you're the Omega guy, then you know where you are in the world, and you think, okay, I'm gonna make an honest and I'm gonna make a decent effort to bring myself up. But it's the Gamma guys who think that they sit higher than they actually do, which makes them a massive pain to deal with. And hopefully today, I'll be giving you some red flags which will help you spot them in the community. So one note before we continue. Not everyone fits into a social sexual market category so easily. You know, in fact, people will often show characteristics, they'll show traits from different groups. Or they may even show more traits from one group at one time, more traits from another at another time. Like, you could have the guy who's an alpha at work, but when he goes home to his wife, he's like more of a beta, something like that. So when I was talking about this Gamma thing, just have a look at those links that I've put into the description. There is a couple of YouTube videos to watch, and then there's a label, the Gamma label from Alpha Game Plan, that's I think used to be Vox Day. I don't know about this kind of like before my time of getting into game, but there's a Voxiversity YouTube video which will describe the Gamma guy, and then there's Nick Krauser video about breaking out of the Gamma habits. So have a look at that to familiarize yourself, but here are some red flags that you can look out for straight away which will tell you that a guy is a bit dodgy. Okay, number one is impunctuality. And that might sound a bit square, But the point is that if a guy is consistently late, it just means he doesn't respect your time. What he wants is that you stand and you're on time and you wait there for him, and then he turns up and he's the one to be fashionably late. So I used to have a wing who would pretty much like about 10 minutes before, not consistently, but each time we met, he always used to be a little bit late. And he'd always say something like, I had to go back to my apartment to do a poo. And I'm not joking, he literally always messaged that. And it became, that happened the first time, you're like, oh, haha, a little bit funny, okay. Then the second time, then the third time, and you're just like, okay, either you have awful time management skills, which I think is a vice, let's say, a bad trait, or, you're just trying to tool me, so I'm standing here waiting for you. Either of them really bad. So in punctuality, and related to that, is guys who don't respond to your messages in reasonable time. Now, I totally understand that a lot of people aren't like me, not working. They work a 9-to-5. They have to be focused on their jobs and everything. But the thing is of them taking, 5-6 hours to come back to your message, not really engaging with what you've said, making the conversation exactly about them, just into about them. It's a red flag. But we'll come back onto that a little bit more later. Number two. We've got 10 of these red flags, by the way. There's probably loads more, but these are just 10 I came up with now. Red flag number two, poor eye contact and body language. So this is similar to number one. And this is how they're trying to give you the shoulder. They're trying to give you the bad body language or the sort of disinterested body language. So you're giving them your attention and they're only giving you part of their attention. And again, it's all about getting more validation from you, taking from you, and not giving anything back to you. Number three, and this one is a bit of a one I don't think many guys pick up on, actually, is not able to tell you a straight story or a straight series of events. If someone says to me, what happened with this lay or what's the story behind it, I can just tell you A, B, C, D, E. I can go through the whole story and tell you. And I'm not trying to suck you in and get your attention onto me for longer than is needed. Like, I'm going to try and convey the story in the most concise manner possible. Now, I understand that maybe when you're talking to a girl, you might want to make it a bit more convoluted. You want to use those open loops, conversation techniques to get her invested in you. But, and this is related to all the points so far, when you're talking to another guy, you should be upfront, honest, reliable, get to the point. These are masculine forms of communication. And so I think it's a red flag when a guy won't just give you a straight series of events. Because then it starts to make me think, oh, is this true actually? Like, if you can't really remember it, then did it actually happen like this? Of course, if I was telling a story myself and I couldn't remember how it went, I would just say, oh, I'm not quite sure. I can't quite remember exactly, but I think this is how it went. And of course, I wouldn't be lying about things that happened to me anyway. Number four, orders you to do things and has a general lack of manners. So this comes from the gamma trait of thinking they're higher up in the hierarchy than they actually are. So they'll give you orders, It's simple things, but it'll be like, could you send, if I was asking someone for, a link, a YouTube link, I'd say to them, oh, could you send me that link? It's quite easy to send a question as a polite question, rather than saying to them, hey, I want to watch this video, send me that link. You can clearly see how one of them is being polite, treating the other person like an equal, and the other one is trying to command them to do things. Number five, 99% of the time talks about himself, and generally that person must be the center of attention. One thing you can do with some guys is just play a little game with yourself, look at the time, and when you meet them, count the time until they ask you something about you. And it's not just how are you at the beginning. Something that is actually about you, about your day, about how your leads are going, how your life's going, how something about you is going, how work's going, how was your holiday, and see how long it takes them to ask something about you. Another thing is these guys, they always have to be the center of attention or else they don't even speak. Like, they won't speak in a group unless the conversation topic is about them. And when it's not about them, they work hard to make it about them. So they'll speak louder, talk over people, They'll sit in a certain way that makes them the literal physical center of attention, in the same way that, say, like the television is often the center of the living room. They'll position themselves in a certain way. So all of these kind of culminate in number six, is frame control. Is that a guy, it feels like he's always trying to position himself above you, so that you're asking him questions, you are talking him up to be amazing, you're mythologizing his life. A lot of the time, the red flag is a guy who just waxes lyrical about his life, talks in a very poetic way to try and suck you in to caring about them. Now, of course, you do care about your friends, but it's a reciprocal. You care about each other. Whereas this kind of guy, the red flag guy, he only wants you to care about him, and otherwise he doesn't like it. He doesn't like you otherwise. Okay, number seven, gives you unbidden advice and his life story. Now, fair enough, I understand, like, I'm doing a podcast right now, I'm giving advice, or at least I'm trying to list these red flags, or I've written a book about my first year in game, which is, you could say, a year's worth of life story. But, you know, you choose to listen to the podcast, you don't have to buy the book if you don't want to. You know what it is before you get in. But this will come from, you're having a conversation with you, and the guy will just say to you, oh, you really should do this. And it's not one of those from the heart things. It's just, he wants you to do it because it's good for him. Or he wants to give you unbidden advice because it makes him appear to be the higher up one. Or else, like I was saying about guys who just wax lyrical about things, like he just goes on about his own stories, never really asking about what's going on with you. It's not a good back and forth reciprocating value thing. It's just taking value. Number eight. The last ones, 8, 9, 10, these are all part of the same kind of group, which is number 8 is he has been part of group chats and forums for too long, sort of suspiciously long. Like, I get that when you get into game, you're a bit lost, you know, you want some help, so you go to the internet and you find the biggest group or you find the biggest forum. But after a certain point, you just quit that. Like, the best people who can help you with your game are actually going to be your wings, because they're probably going to be at a similar level, in a similar context, similar location, and you know, they actually know you, they know you as a person, they can give you more specific advice, and they can let you know what actually worked for them. Whereas the group chats and the forums is full of these kind of red flag weirdo guys, which are, and the whole thing becomes just a pissing contest of guys who are the blind leading the blind. Okay, and normally, yeah, it's something which a beginner, you start off there, but once you get some true wings and some good friends in the community, you tend to graduate and leave those forums. Number 9. Similar point, yep. Doesn't seem to have any consistent wings, / wings have broken up with him in the past. Now, I think by and large, a lot of day gamers are just nice guys, actually. They don't tend to, if they want to try to move away from a wing, they often just, you know, they're like a girl, you know, I'm busy, or they can't make it, and eventually they just try and ghost them. It's very rare that a day gamer would actually tell another guy, okay, I don't think I can wing with you anymore, you're too negative, for example. So if this has happened to that guy in the past, that's a massive red flag. What you'll typically find is that guy will, oh, you know, play the blame game. Oh, it's their fault. It's nothing to do with him, the reason why they didn't want to wing with him. And you can find these kind of guys who show these red flags. They typically burn through their, quote, friends. Like, they'll get a guy who's sort of friendly with them, talks to them, indulges their attention seeking for a while, but then realizes, ah, that's all this guy wants, is attention. So yeah, number 9, guys who don't have any consistent wings, or their wings have broken up with them in the past. Number 10 is classic armchair PUAs. Like, I see this often on Twitter. It's guys who are commenting, tweeting, replying to me, replying to others as if they're some sort of legend of the London community. But none of us have ever met them before. I mean, these guys will typically also respond to tweets in a way where, like, the first sentence will vaguely address what the first original tweet says, and the rest is only about them. So look out for those armchair PUAs. You know, you actually do want to find out how often is these guys approaching, how long have they been doing it for, etc., etc. And number 11, I suppose, it was a list of 10 red flags, but here's the biggest red flag, is your gut feeling is off. I think when you're talking to someone, or even just messaging them, you just start to think, huh, there's something off about this guy. Like, I'd like to think that I have a sort of heightened sense of this, because you know what, every now and then, I mean, well, 95 to 99% of the people who email me about coaching or just send me an email are those kind of guys who are like the beta guys or the Amiga guys. They just want to make themselves a bit better in the sexual marketplace, do better with goals, and they want to make an honest and reliable, an honest, hardworking effort to get better. But I can tell whenever I get a very long email with a guy's life story in it, or if I get onto a Zoom call with a guy who won't give me his full attention, who will give me sort of poor eye contact, give me the sort of the shoulder to the camera, immediately I think, huh, there's something a bit off about this guy. And by and large, my feelings are proven true. So that's the last thing I'd recommend you do, is listen to your gut feeling. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that quick podcast.